Hey friends, welcome to the Rhythms for Life podcast. Welcome back. I'm Rebecca Lyons.
And I'm Gabe Lyons. And today we're talking about millennials, Generation Z, how a new generation is dealing with anxiety and some of these struggles, perhaps more than even adults are. The data is bearing it out, and it's going to be an incredible conversation today.
Yes, I'm excited. So if you don't know who Sadie Robertson is, she actually grew up on the show Duck Dynasty. So if you're familiar, you got to watch her grow up there. And then she was on Dancing with the Stars. In the last couple years, as she has had influence with her generation and given voice, and she teaches and she travels and she speaks and writes books, she's just got a lot of authenticity about her, which I appreciate so much. But Gen Z is age 22 and below. Whether or not you know someone that you love or you're in that age range yourself, we hope and pray that today is an encouragement for you, gives you some handles on what to do with these feelings of loneliness, isolation, and anxiety.
Yeah, Rebecca, I mean, it's counterintuitive because of all the technology, social media, right? We know that it promises more connection, the fact that you're maybe being known by way more people than you possibly could fit into your house. But the reality is the data is just showing that the opposite's happening. So the numbers are huge. Like of adults, 46 to 47% right now are reporting high feelings of loneliness. Mm-hmm. 22% of millennials say they don't have a friend.
Yeah.
They're having a hard time being known. And I think part of what we talk about with Rhythms and part of what you write about in Rhythms of Renewal is how much we need to manage technology, because sure, it's actually part of the problem.
Right. A study I remember in the UK years ago, because I think they're a little bit ahead of even what we're seeing on our soil in the US. But I remember about 3 or 4 years ago, there was a study that said 16 to 24 year olds are suffering from being the first generation raised in social media ubiquity. And I was like, ubiquity? What does that mean? And it just meant the sense of being omnipresent, where you could be all things to all people at all times, never turning off, which meant that you're always talking to someone, but you're connecting with no one.
Right.
And I think that's a delineation we need to pay attention to. Like, you can talk at someone or you can listen kind of, but you're not actually connecting. And the connection piece is the eye contact, the physical, you know, hugs. I read a chapter, hugs all around, this embrace, this body language. It's being fully known and then loved, and yet you can't do that through the filter of social media.
Well, think about it too. This is the first generation who's having to walk through incredible change. Like, significant tectonic plates are shifting about how we relate to one another, and they're having to walk through it without the wisdom of an older generation to help them through it. Now, all of us, we've had those who are wiser than us. They've walked through life. They're telling us how to do it. And now, you know, we sit down with Sadie and have this conversation, and the reality is at 22, she's had to navigate this world on her own. She's still trying to figure out, how do I do this well?
Right. I think of you and I, Gabe, when we were raised, we didn't have an iPhone staring at us. That prefrontal lobe of the brain, that self-regulating lobe of development, doesn't actually fully develop until 21 to 25 years of age. So if you put a device in your hand that requires self-regulation, that's real hard, because it's almost wants to create addiction with someone who hasn't developed yet the maturity and the growth development to say no.
Right.
And so that's why we as parents have had to kind of decide between us, like, what do we give our kids and when, and with what boundaries do we create around that? So in our home, we did a contract with the phones. Our daughter, who's a freshman, still isn't on social media per se, but even with having a phone and texting, Gabe and I, we have several rules, like grade point average has to be intact. The phones have to be downstairs by 8 p.m. because we know that without any boundary, that freedom without constraint is just, it leads to bondage, right?
Yeah.
You're just up all night. You can't sleep. You're always comparing yourself. I don't want this to be a session where we're hating on social media or we're hating on technology, because there are so many wonderful things about it. But without boundaries, it can go off the rails.
Yeah, and we have to care and think through this as parents, or those who care a lot about the next generation. We want them to have a vision for their future that's a life that's flourishing, that's experiencing all the things God's designed all of us to enjoy. But instead, if you just look at the data, you're seeing they don't know how to do that. They're a little bit lost. This is where I think the writing you've done around Rhythms is going to be helpful. And for those maybe listening for the first time, review What are the four rhythms that we're talking about?
Sure. The first two are rest and restore, which is the opposite of heaven. In fact, the second chapter of rest is tech detox. Take a technology detox. Because when I removed that white noise, that low hum of constant newsfeed or scrolling and double tapping, when I removed that, all of a sudden, I was able to think clearly my own thoughts. It wasn't groupthink. It wasn't what is somebody else doing so that I can copy or compare. It was like, what actually does God want me to take notice of? And who are the people in my home that I am not giving enough attention to so that connection could form? Connection is so important in this episode. So the last two rhythms are connect and create. And so Sadie and I talk a lot about connection and why that is so essential. It's the combat to loneliness and isolation.
Yeah, and you think about even babies, how important it is that there's eye-to-eye contact with their mother, right? But at age 20, are we getting enough eye-to-eye contact? I'm not sure that we are. So I know you and Sadie are going to get into that conversation, which is going to be really helpful. I just want to encourage people, Rebecca's book comes out very soon, and if you pre-order it, not only can you get the book the moment that it comes out from your favorite retailer, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy books, but you also are going to get some free gifts. And one of those is Rebecca reading five chapters of the audiobook.
Yeah, so at the intro and a chapter from each rhythm. And it was so fun recording the audiobook. I can't wait for you guys to listen in.
So now let's listen in to Rebecca interviewing Sadie Robertson.
Okay, I'm super, super, super excited for today. Sadie, you're here.
I'm here. I'm so excited. Super, super, super is the best way to put it.
We adore, I'm going to just speak for both of us. We adore each other.
Yeah, we do.
I'm just going to assume that it's reciprocal.
It is. I think everybody else knows that too. So,
Our friendship has been for several years now, but it kind of escalated the last couple. Yeah. And I think what I love so much about you is you make me feel like I'm half the age that I am.
I love it. I love it. And you make me feel a lot more wiser than
see,
I am.
But see, we're rubbing off on each
we
other.
Are.
You have that like zeal and I have that wisdom. Yeah. Remember that first
That's
coffee
the first
we went together?
Coffee. I yes. wrote that down in my notes and I quote that all the time because you said when zeal meets wisdom, powerful things happen.
This is a podcast on rhythms and I have watched you walk this out so beautifully, which is probably hard for people in their 20s. It's hard for me in my 40s, let's be honest. But people in their 20s, like, more is more, right?
Yeah.
And you just want to do it all in your high capacity. But you have been really disciplined about saying no to some things out of conviction or out of just preservation. Like, I want sustained health to create, you know, the things that God plants in my heart or to connect. So connect and create is kind of where we're going to hang today because you are such a output person. But what people probably don't even realize is that to do that, you actually have to have a lot of quiet space and rest and restore.
Right.
So we were just talking a minute ago at coffee that you said you're off Instagram right now. So tell me why and when and like how what prompts that for you?
I honestly, it's so funny. I tell people this all the time. I think because I have such a social media platform and because most things I do are social media, they're Instagram or Twitter or YouTube. What's funny is I don't have Instagram on my phone half the time. I don't have Twitter on my phone half the time. And I hardly ever look at YouTube.
Yeah.
It's just funny because you would think that's like my life, but that's a part of life. That's a part of something that God has allowed me to have a platform in. That's where I get to put things out. Mm-hmm. But you're right. If you're not putting things in, then you can't put things out. And you got to ask yourself, what are you putting in? And for me, constantly putting in things on Instagram doesn't help me put things out on Instagram that I want to put out, that I feel like God is, I don't know, just kind of doing in my own life. And so a lot of times I'll just feel that I'm kind of, you know, going with emotions, or I'm getting a little too comfortable, or I'm not studying as much as I should be in the Bible, or my time is devoted to looking on Instagram or whatever and not, you know, searching my heart or reading. Mm-hmm. And whenever I feel like I get in that stage, I just kind of pause and I literally just delete the app for however long. I don't normally say like a week. I don't normally say like a month. I just stop. And so it's been about 2.5 weeks this time. And for me, I just needed it. I just needed to stop for a second, especially coming out of summer and about to go into fall. There's a literal season change, sure. But even a shift in just the busyness. And so I kind of just need to refocus.
It was this time a year ago, you interviewed me on your podcast about the same thing. I took last summer off and you had inspired that the year before. So I think we're just kind of, we're tag teaming. But last year, I remember when I took the summer off Instagram, my dad had passed in April and depression came knocking in May. And I knew I needed to just completely get unplugged to heal.
Yeah.
And in that season, I started sleeping again, dreaming again, learning again. Yeah. And you realize that God actually has planted everything in us, these good things that he wants us to co-create with him, that we actually don't need to look to someone else for counsel on what to do or how to do it. He's like, I've got it for you. Yeah, just get away with me. So when you get off, it's been 2.5 weeks. What have you replaced that time with and how are you being filled up?
That's good. I think like sometimes even speaking about like connectedness, it's like you think social media is like the thing to like connect you to all these things, but like sometimes you need to like connect to different things. And I think for me, that was what this time was for. It was to truly like connect to my friends here because I was been in Louisiana all summer and I'm moving back here and I wanted to be like in the present, in the moment. Mm-hmm. I wanted to connect to Christian because now I'm engaged, but we're long distance. And so having that time to spend time texting him and calling him, and then also, of course, connect to God, because I know this is funny, but I'm preaching a big message in 4 months and I'm already like, I need to start studying, I need to start praying, I need to start thinking. And all my time needs to be like connecting to God, connecting to friends, connecting to family who's distant, connecting to Christian who's distant. Yeah. And that kind of needs to be my social media right now. Right. That needs to be my connection. And so, yeah, that's just kind of been what it's looked like. And it's been so good because I feel like I have all the time in the world. It's funny how much time frees up when you're not on social media. And that's the thing. People might think, man, this is so overthinking social media. But I think that you should take it seriously because that is like, that's everybody's platform.
Well, anything you give your time or attention or money to, it can become an idol.
It
can. If it gets that much of a focus, we're not just hand slapping people out there. I'm preaching to the choir myself on this. If I look at that app at the end of the week and it tells me how many hours I spent on social, I was like, oh, that's like 10 hours I could have had doing something else. And there's parts of it that are awesome. Yeah. I mean, you guys wouldn't know about this podcast if social media wasn't around, or you might not be aware of the books that Sadie's written or some of the sermons she's preached, or same for me. So I believe it's like a megaphone. It's a channel. It has a way of delivery. But we know connection, you can talk all day online, but never connect. Because connection, as we know, is intimacy through vulnerability.
Yeah.
And you're not going to do that online in a way, because vulnerability is costly. So with Christian, okay, we have to talk about Christian.
We have to talk about Christian.
I'm like, have you had a million people wanting to just like hound you guys about everything? I mean, but I know the backstory, thankfully, because, you know, we've been friends for a long time and I was just watching that little glimmer in your eye get brighter over the last year. So it's been so sweet. But you guys are getting married.
Yes.
Like legit married.
Legit married.
I'm beyond thrilled. Like how has that been? Because you were long distance and now you're starting to, you spent more time together this summer. You got to
We were long distance. Then we lived in the same place this summer and now we're long distance again. So it's definitely been, it's been cool though, because in different aspects, we're focusing on different parts of our relationship. You know, like now it's all about like communication. It's all about like learning that. And it's hard to like relearn that after like we've been communicating right beside each other this whole summer.
Right.
But everybody says like every time they see me, the glimmer of my eye gets brighter. But I think it's because we're just getting so close. Mm-hmm. And it's so exciting. I mean, he is just the absolute godsend. And totally, you've walked out a lot of relationships fast with me. Praise the Lord. He is everything that I know God intended. And it's something I probably wouldn't have like guessed for myself or, you know, imagined. But it has absolutely blown my mind. He has. It's awesome.
Well, even in the connect rhythm, that's kind of where we're camping right now. You are such a loyal friend. And I can imagine how that plays out in your engagement now.
Yeah.
I don't know him well, but I would imagine there's like that loyalty obviously was there before the will you marry me?
Yeah.
But just to even watch that grow and watch you guys start to dream. We were just at breakfast talking about this like holy imagination of what God wants to do with two people when he appoints like who's going to be our person for life in ministry. Like, so Gabe and I you know, on this podcast, we decided that we were going to do it together because we don't want to each just build our own things. We actually want, we are one, you know, what God has put together, let no man separate. And so there's this conviction there that goes, okay, there are days when, you know, Gabe and I will not always want to, we want to separate the things that we're doing. Because the temptation is this individualism.
Right.
But even in your age, to just kind of run fast and furious toward unity, even as a couple, tell me when you knew like that that conviction was like, that's what I want. And then how that even is going to play out in like what your work might look like.
No, that's such a good question. Christian and I, this is something we talk about all the time. Because I think that we're just super aware of that idea that the things that I'm weak in, he's really strong in. And the things that he's weak in, I'm really strong in. And it's kind of this, this is such a churchy phrase, but like a kingdom collaboration. It's like God put something so beautiful in you and so beautiful in me that are so different that when we do come together, gosh, like it's so much better. It's so much more powerful. And you're right. The temptation, and like you said earlier, like vulnerability comes at the risk. There is that like, oh, but like this is what I'm doing. This is what like you're doing. This is what I've worked on and this is what you've worked on. But just a constant like surrender of that, whatever that is, that individualist thinking and that almost like giving yourself the credit for like the good things that like you've done and kind of realizing, man, God has really done this in our lives individually, but now he's put us together. Mm-hmm. And Christian and I have such a desire to do that together. Because we've seen in the past year how my voice has gotten stronger. It's gotten louder. I've gotten more confident. I've had more joy. His voice has gotten stronger and louder and more confident, more joy. We've felt this love. And so not that it's been easy. There's been a lot of communication there, but it's taken us further. And so we're like, how do we walk into that in marriage? And you're right. For us, like for me, I'm 6 on the Enneagram. Hello. So I am a loyalist. I love to be loyal to my people. And if I can do anything together, that's like the best thing to me. Mm-hmm. And Christian's a 2. He's a helper. So together, it's like we want that, you know? But it is going to look different because I'm very – we did this test the other day. I was all the way extrovert. He was all the way introvert. But there's something so beautiful about that coming together, just what it draws out in us. And I think that's such a God thing, you know, and just constantly seeking that, okay, we're all creating this image of God. What part of God that he put in you that's so good that I want to discover that's really going to make us together so great for the kingdom? And we're discovering that in cool ways. And we have so many ideas. We have so many dreams. We're like constantly dreaming, constantly writing. We have journals. We just sit at like literally at a park and we'll just like write ideas all day long. Will we do them? Hopefully. We're going to run to them like we're going to with expectation. Sure. But I don't know. But it's helping us discover a lot more about who we are in the process of dreaming about what we want to do.
Well, and even what you said about you're off the charts in the extrovert and he is the opposite direction, the introvert. Even as you were saying that, I was seeing him being your safe place, right? As God is your refuge and then Christian is a form of that, a gift of that from God, right? That like you can go and run hard and then go, I know Gabe does that for me. Like sometimes I'll just want to collapse when I get home from a trip or whatever it is. And just there's such a, there's a comfort there, like a so quiet comfort that like this isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
And just the gift to have that person that you're like, here it is. Here's all the stuff.
Yeah.
Here's the confession. Yeah. Here's the insecurity. Here's the hesitation or doubt, but that true vulnerability is like, you see all of me and you still love me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
It's unbelievable. Let's talk about your friendships too, because your friends are awesome.
My friends are the best.
They're awesome and fun and again, youthful zeal. I'm just so inspired. I have teens, as you know, who love you and your friends, and they're just a few years behind you. And I think it's really important to show, because it can be so such a default, I think, in and a temptation to be too cool.
Yeah.
Right? We've had this conversation. To like be somewhere in that age range where you're too cool, but it's really just masking insecurity.
Yep.
But you just exude this kind of joy of the Lord is my strength. Like there's just a joy and that joy becomes strength.
Yeah.
And I think it's inspiring for kids that are younger to go, I don't actually have to hide behind my screen.
Yeah.
There is a personality in here
yeah.
that is really fun or funny.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just talking about some of the kids I know.
Yeah.
And what happens, though, is screens have a tendency to suck the air out of the room,
right.
whether it's the classroom or right. youth group or a party. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like you have to then put on a filter, even in the room with
yep.
someone, like you're hiding behind a filter of
some sense,
trying
yeah.
to be safe or cool. And so what would you say if you were sitting across the table from someone who's 16
right
now, and she's kind of in the throes of high school,
yeah.
and she knows deep down there's something there, but she doesn't really feel a freedom when she's in a context of a classroom
yeah.
maybe, or a sport, or
right.
an art, or whatever her extracurricular thing is, to really let that out?
Yeah.
What would you say
That's
to
good.
Her?
So I just had this conversation with a group of girls who are about to rush into a sorority. And I was talking to them about sisterhood and friendship. So what I always try to think about when I'm going into a friendship that I want to build is, am I trying to build this on image, or am I trying to build this on my identity? Because image is only going to last, what, maybe an hour, like
right.
a day, a week, maybe a year, but it's not going to last forever. But if I build this on who I really am, then this is something that can take into forever. This is something that I don't have to hide behind, don't have to be afraid of. If it's going to fall, if it's going to crack, if it's going to break, because I know I'm going to be who I am.
Right.
And I was telling them this idea, and I said, it would almost be like we were putting our full confidence in our foundation, like our makeup foundation. It was like our foundation is going to change everything about us. It doesn't change anything
no,
about you.
It just gets glowy by
just,
the end
yeah,
of the day.
Exactly. Like you put it on, but it changes the appearance of your skin, but it doesn't change the color of your skin.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to them about how it will break, it will crack, it will fade, it is going to come off. So if you put your whole confidence in the foundation you're putting on to like save, I don't know, the way people think of you, you're going to live in a state of anxiety.
Yeah.
You're not going to be confident. You're going to be insecure because you know you're hiding. You know it's not the real color of your skin.
Right.
So I was in front of all these girls and I said, anybody have a makeup wipe? And this girl said, yeah. So she runs. I said, can I use it? So she runs up there. I was well into 30 minutes of this talk. And I just said, you know what? I said, what if I just came here tonight? And before I took my makeup off, I just stared at them. I said, and I just stared at y'all for literally 30 minutes. Didn't say a single word. I said, then y'all would have left and said, that was the weirdest thing ever. We got absolutely nothing out of that. And people would say, how was it? And you would say, well, I saw Sadie Robertson, and it was kind of weird. Didn't really get anything from it. And I was like,
she was standing there with a makeup wipe.
She was just standing there with a makeup wipe. I said, that would have been me giving you my image, and it wouldn't have lasted. So I said, I took my makeup off, and then I asked them a question.
In front of them.
In front of them.
Yeah,
and
girl,
you should have seen
on.
Their faces. It was as if I did a magic trick. I was laughing so hard, and I said, woo, my foundation don't even match me. And it really didn't. It was hilarious. And I was like, it was like the worst skin day of my life, too. And I was like dying laughing. I was like, oh my gosh, these pimples are out of control. And so I like asked him, it was so real. I just said, does this change the way that y'all see me? And they all just kind of really thought about it. And I said, no, really, like, does it change the way that you see me? And they said, no, it doesn't. And I said, no, it doesn't. It changes what you see, but it doesn't change who you see.
Yeah.
And that's what it should be. When your image comes off, when the filter comes off, when the caption's not there, when you can't pick the perfect selfie, when you just have to show up, when the image you created comes off, people should still see you because they're looking at the same person.
So
don't
good.
Try to paint this different perspective because it's not going to last. And that causes all of these buildup of pressure and walls and anxiety and stress and insecurity. And that's what every high school, middle school, college girl is facing. And then some, you know, because as long as you hide behind it, you're gonna be faced with that. Friendship on image doesn't last for anybody. Like I was telling them, one, it didn't last for me because it came off, and two, it doesn't last for y'all because there's nothing y'all can hold on to with that.
And that puts so much pressure when you wake up.
It does.
I was thinking about girls when they wake up. If they really felt like that day, they have to figure out how to put everything on so that they can go out. Because I think that's the chronic stress a lot of us carry. We really do feel responsible for figuring out each morning before we step out the door, how do I project and present to be the best version of myself?
Exactly.
So that I'm still loved and liked today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's like a popularity contest that won't quit. And it's
true.
Exhausting.
Absolutely. And I think what it is it creates comparison because you're creating an image that a lot of other people have because you think that's what it means to fit in, but then you always feel less than. And identity is just actually how you were created.
Yeah.
And so you can't compare that because there's nobody else that has that. Mm-hmm. And so there's a confidence that comes in that.
Yeah.
And then you can celebrate others. And I think going back to my friendships, I think that's what we've built. And it hasn't been easy, but building that off of who we all are, there's no room to compare. There's confidence in who we all are. So we can celebrate each other
sure.
for the things that we get to do. And I think when you can celebrate and you don't have to compare, it really unlocks the freedom to have joy yes, for everybody.
For sure.
And then that becomes such a valuable strength. But you have to find that in the Lord. And finding it in the Lord, I think, is finding it in who He made you to be. So
right.
it's finding that identity in right. who He made you.
I write a chapter in the Connect section of Rhythms of Renewal called Know Your Identity.
Awesome.
And it really, because I do believe, I agree wholeheartedly that when you know who you are,
yep.
you stop trying to get that title or label from someone else.
Yep.
Instead of receiving identity through all these like twisted ways,
yeah.
you're like, no, the identity comes from God alone.
Exactly.
He calls me beloved, chosen. In fact, in the last half of the chapter, I literally list out all these identity
That's
truth
awesome.
Statements of who you are
That's
based
awesome.
On what God says. And I found myself needing to reread it several times at my age.
I want to read it.
I want my daughter to read it because I think if you were to say that to yourself every morning while
right.
you're putting your makeup on, like just the juxtaposition
yeah.
of like, I'm getting ready because I want to make sure I'm enough for the world.
Yeah.
While you're reading these words, it says you
Powerful.
Are absolutely everything
Powerful.
That God put in you to be for the world.
That's awesome.
And it does. It'll shift your paradigm. And there's a confidence. The confidence comes from Him because you start to believe it. Like
yep.
you start to speak it enough. You start to believe it. And then you start to speak it over your friends.
Yeah.
Because
so
the
true.
Best way to fight comparison is to just affirm
yeah.
and speak life
yeah.
and raise up and encourage. And I find even in my conviction, thankfully God just never stops because He doesn't want to leave us where we are. And if I feel the least subtle nudge of comparison
yeah.
still, because I would love to say that we're never going to ever
yeah.
feel that, but sorry guys, the enemy is just, he still wants you to feel insignificant.
Yeah.
So he'll try by whatever
right.
means necessary. So this week I had like a nudge of comparison and I immediately went to Gabe and I said, hey, I want to confess this nudge to you. I've already done it with God, but I want to confess it to you too, because I actually
Great.
Want you to pray with me over and help cover me over
yeah.
this, because this is going to actually rob the joy
so
of what
good.
He's doing right now.
Yeah.
And so what I do to respond to that instead is going, I'm going to actually turn that
yeah.
on its head
yeah.
and like cheer louder
<That's>
for
good.
The other, right? Cheer louder, affirm. And it's not out of striving. It's out of like, I reject and I renounce that whole thing
yeah.
of comparison, because that's going to tear apart our relationships. But when we meet it head on and go, nope, I'm not
nope.
going to receive that,
mm-hmm.
because the enemy accuses and gets us to agree.
Yeah.
And we can't control what he's trying to put in our hearts or mm-hmm. plant in our minds, but we certainly can control whether
so
or
true.
Not we agree.
So
and so
true.
While I'll be tempted to agree, in the moment I'll go, nope, no, I don't agree. I reject
I
that lie.
Don't.
That's
yeah.
that's a lie. I love this person, or
so
I love
true.
Her, or I love him,
yeah.
you know, them or whatever, because they are made in your image
yeah.
and they have the same identity. They
yeah.
carry the same beloved identity that I do.
Yeah, that's so good. I think for people, like in that moment, a lot of times people feel like, oh, well, if I say this, then am I being fake? Like, am I being disingenuous to say like, oh, I love this person, I'm cheering this person, when in reality I have this jealousy or I have this comparison. But I actually think you flip that, because you're actually being disingenuous to the truth of what you know to be jealous, to start to compare. And so, no, speak that truth. Even if you're like, even though I'm dealing with this right now, I'm having these thoughts, I know I love this person, I cheer this person, they're no threat to what God's doing in my
right.
life. And that's genuine,
right.
you know? But the enemy, even in that's like, oh, no, you don't. You
right.
don't really
you're
think that. You
it.
Don't really believe
yeah.
that. You're like, yes, I do. Like,
right.
get a little louder about it.
Right. And for me, I've had to search my heart in that, because I agree. I would never say, let's just say this, but really. So it still goes back to the heart. Go, why do I feel
right.
this threatened?
Yeah.
Am I uncertain in that God actually has a perfect plan and I can
yeah.
trust him? And so partly I still have to come back to God and go, I'm sorry, actually, that I let this become a thing, that I took my eyes off you, that I started to not trust your hand and your guiding and your wisdom, that everything you put before me is what you would have me do, and I can just walk in that. I don't need to stress. Mm-hmm. So it still comes back to a heart issue of like, what do I need to repent of? And repent just means a hard stop.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a hard stop to looking around and like finding something wrong with something. I can at least, I might not want to, but I really ultimately do want to stop because it's just going to destroy me, not the other person.
Yeah.
So if you're feeling that and you're thinking, I don't really feel that way, so why would I say that? It's like, well, then just ask God to actually soften your heart and make you tender again because he really wants to revive that spirit of generosity in the way you see other people. Mm-hmm. And when it comes back, you'll actually be a lot more joyful because it just comes from him in that way.
Awesome.
Okay, before we close, I mean, I want to talk to you for about 8 hours, and I'm not sure how everybody would feel about an 8-hour long podcast. But tell me, okay, so you're going to get married soon.
Yes.
What are you most excited about just looking ahead in even the create category, connect and create? That's like over the next 12 months, just what are the things that you just are grateful that God just continues to pull you towards him?
Mm-hmm. That's so good. Oh gosh, I'm excited about so many things. I think for me, you know, and you said this at the beginning, you were like, you're so good at saying no to these things, but doing all these things and having a high capacity. And I think that's so sweet, but I know that that's from learning it the hard way. You know, I know, like, at the beginning when this all started, I wanted to go for everything. I was like, yes, 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 because this is awesome. This is cool. And they're all good things. And God was clearly opening the doors to a lot of those things. But it was just like this, like, whoa, I want to do it all. I want to do it all. And I learned real fast at a young age that that is not sustainable. And so, like, what things do I say yes to? And how do I even learn how to say yes? How do I know when God's nudging me in a way? And over the past few years, I feel like I've really learned that. You can always learn more, and there's always room to grow. And so I think over the next, like, year, I guess, I'm excited to just really stand in that, knowing, like, okay, God, I feel like our relationship is 100 right now. I feel like I am just, I've got my pursuit right in you. I've got my desire right in you. And from that is following my future marriage and then my family and my friends and all those things. And so God, like, teach me in the next 12 months, how do I continue to say yes to you and even the smaller decisions in life, not just the big things, not the exciting things, not the extravagant things, but the small things and when to go to lunch with somebody, when to, you know, call somebody, when to have a deeper conversation, when to sit down and create, when to listen, when to speak, all those things. And I think because the past 3 years of my life have been running full speed ahead, and I almost feel like I've carved out the next 12 months to just be a little bit more still. Yeah. Even though it might seem crazy to some people, it feels still to me. I'm excited to just have that pure connection, pure creativity from God, and like go out from that, if that makes sense. And I know, so like you were even saying, your life seems so crazy right now, but for some reason, and has to be God, it seems so at peace.
Yeah.
And so, and I haven't always felt that. I honestly would not have even said that answer to that question 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. But now, like I said, having this time off from social media, even in 2.5 weeks, I'm really looking at what do I want the next few months? What do I want the next year to look like? Even though I'm moving to different places, walking to different things, it's really that pure connection from God. You've taught me this in the crazy. Now teach me this in the a little bit more planted and slow.
Right.
And I'm excited for that.
Well, there's such a feeling that comes in that quiet pause.
Yeah.
There's, and I can't even imagine. I mean, I know what God like gives you in nuggets when you're running. So I'm like just so excited to see what he's going to do when you're just sitting. And you do that so well, which is evident because you wouldn't have an overflow if you didn't. Mm-hmm. But the things about rhythms that you're describing is that you'll have these daily rhythms that I think you are excellent at that, just watching you walk that out with your people, those rest, restore, connect, create. But then there's also a seasonal version of that, an annual version of that. And sometimes, like, even in a sabbatical way, you know, every few years there's a deeper intention around rest or restore because you know there's something around the bend that he just wants to, give you, double down on what he's giving you or birthing in dreams and stuff. So I love to watch you live that out so well. I was with your mom a couple nights ago.
The best.
And she's a superstar.
She really is.
And just how vulnerable and open she is, even with her cadence of rhythm, like how she's usually pretty chill, but when things start to escalate, mm-hmm. she'll own that too.
Yeah.
And just, I love how you guys just as a family, there really is a sense of belonging that you all carry, like
awesome.
That is seen from the outside. And I think that your lives are a witness as much as even the words you say. Does that make sense?
Wow, thank you.
You know,
yes.
like the lives are a witness versus just always having to feel like we have to speak something.
That's so true.
And that need for family, that anchoring, that safe place, I'm just with you in praying that God continues that in your generation and
thank
the
you.
Kids that probably, possibly will be around the, you know, down the line, not tomorrow.
Not tomorrow.
Not next year. No, but you know what I'm saying? Just like to see that continue to go forward generation after generation.
Yeah.
It's a sweet thing. And thank you just for being here.
Thanks for being my friend. Thanks for being my friend. Thanks for having me on the podcast. This is awesome. And just, I know we're closing, but it's been really cool for all of you who love Rebecca. She's prayed about this podcast for so long. And we used to go get acai bowls all the time. And she would ask questions. And what does my generation need to hear? What is this? And she just cares about people who listen. And so thanks for speaking so much wisdom to me and to the world. This is awesome.
I love you, girl.
Love
thanks
you.
Thanks for being here.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to that conversation. I know for Rebecca and I, this is what tonight our teenagers are going to listen to so
Absolutely.
That they can benefit from her
right?
wisdom.
Yeah, I loved just the illustration of how she took off her makeup just to show no filter. Do you see me differently? That really spoke to me. And it's something I think we can all take encouragement from. No matter what age we are, I think of the ways I still sometimes can be tempted to filter or edit, no matter how old we are. We never think that we fully present ourselves well and our identity is attached to that. So we have to filter and cover up. But yet she's just reminded us that your identity is who God says you are and you're loved and known to the measure that you invite people in. And so I love how she did that.
Yeah, and I think it's no doubt that as we understand how lonely the next generation's feeling, like part of loneliness is not being known. And she's kind of going right at that, saying, look, you've got to let yourself be known, even though the world's telling you to kind of cover it all up and not necessarily bring your full self to it, that part of breaking free from this loneliness epidemic is being who you are and not being ashamed of that.
And she took time even away from technology when she knew she needed more connection with friendships. There's a direct application there, I believe. I think for teens in general or college students and myself, I'm preaching to me too. When I start to feel a distancing from my friendships or that I have to go online to see what they're doing and check in, it's like, no, stop. Like text them directly, go to lunch. I went to lunch today with a friend that I love and hadn't seen for a couple months. And I'm like, sometimes I go online to see what you're doing. But yet when we actually are face to face, the tears start to fall. We share where we really are. We leave more connected than ever. And that is the combat to loneliness.
Yeah. So I just want to encourage everybody, the rhythm of connection, so critical, really important, but you have to pursue it. It doesn't just always come to you. You got to go reach out, maybe have the awkward moment, invite somebody to coffee, to lunch like Rebecca did today, and just go there with them. We're all just below the surface needing it. We're longing for it, but somebody has to lead. So I want to encourage you to lead in that. Lead in that with your children, if you're parents of teenagers or middle schoolers. Let them know that it's okay to bring their full self to the conversation. Now, Rebecca, before we go, I just want to remind people, pre-order Rebecca's book. You're going to get a lot of free things. I want you to share with them the audiobook, the 5 chapters that they're going to receive if they pre-order today.
Absolutely. The 5 chapters are this, the introduction, which really kind of jumps in a moment of relapse for me. And I think that might resonate with some of you. After several years of not having a panic attack, it just came back out of nowhere and what God had for me in that moment to learn from that. And then the other 4 chapters are Tech Detox, Silence the Noise. That's from the Rhythm of Rest. The chapter from the Rhythm of Restore is Eat Smart or Brain Food, all about the lessons I learned from changing the way I was eating. The 3rd free chapter is from the Connect Rhythm, and it's Hugs All Around, the Power of Physical Touch, which seems pretty self-explanatory, so we'll get into that. And then Rhythm 4, Create, that chapter is Recovering Your Passion.
So invite your friends to not only pre-order the book, but just more people to listen in on this conversation. We have absolutely loved the feedback. We've loved feeling like, man, we're contributing to hopefully a solution to a rising challenge that many of us are facing. And so thank you for your continued encouragement, sharing it on social media, and inviting everybody you know to listen in to Rhythms for Life.
Thank you again for just how you have shared. We want you to know we read your comments, we read your emails. You guys have been so generous about spreading this podcast to people that you know might be blessed or encouraged by it. And one thing, if you don't mind, if you haven't already, just go subscribe. That way you know immediately when the next one comes out. And also leave a review. I know a lot of people ask you to do that on podcasts. It really does help. It helps just get it out there for people to see the more reviews there are. So if you don't mind taking a moment to do that, we'd be so grateful. We are so, so thankful to go on this journey with you guys. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time. Special thanks to Ryan O'Neill with Sleeping at Last for providing the music for season 1.